Why do the heathen rage? Amen. Let's pray. Now, Lord, I need you tonight. This message will not have the impact that you intended to have. I pray you come upon me, Holy Spirit, with your anointing. Oh, God, let it flow out of my lips as you put it into my heart. I thank you for the sanctifying power of the Holy Ghost, that we can stand before your people clean. We can stand as a blessing to these people, the fire and the anointing of the Holy Ghost to come because of the blood of Jesus that sprinkles us clean. Hallelujah. Lord, open our understanding tonight. We will understand what we're going to face in the days ahead and why there's such persecution now from the ungodly. We pray, Lord, that you quicken us to hear and understand your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Will you go to Psalms 2, please? Psalms 2. I'm going to read. I want you to follow me from the first five verses of Psalm 2. Reading from the King James. Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Verse 1 again. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Hallelujah. Why do the heathen rage? Folks, it has been this way from the very beginning of time that the ungodly hate the righteous. The ungodly, the wicked, have no time for those who walk in holiness before God. David said, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, when men rose up against us, then they had swallowed us up quick when their wrath was kindled against us. Blessed be the Lord who has not given us as a prey to their teeth. And this is exactly what David's saying. Lord, if it wasn't on your side, they would have just swallowed us up. They would have eaten us alive. That's what's in their heart. He said, God, you kept us from being a prey, a victim to these people. Now, the wrath of this sinful world is burning now as brightly as ever against the people of God. And let me tell you, the more godly you are, the more you're going to be hated and despised by this world. The closer you get to Jesus, the further away you're going to get from this world and everything they stand for. And the more you're going to be ostracized, and the more you're going to be hated and abused by the world. Now, if you're going to follow Jesus in the straight and narrow way, let me tell you right now, you can forget about being admired and loved by this world. You can forget about being admired and loved by your relatives that are unsaved. Amen? If you are trying to influence your ungodly friends around you on the job and you'd like to be loved, everybody wants to be loved. I'd love to have everybody love me. That's a wonderful thing, but it's not going to happen. And the closer you get to Jesus, the less the ungodly are going to love or admire you. So don't even try to work on it. Jesus said, you're going to be persecuted just as I am, he said. In fact, he said, the time is coming that whosoever kills you will think that he doth God service. And in the Syriac, it reads, whosoever kills you will think that he's bringing a sacrifice to God. In other words, your dead body, he's going to present it to God. He would kill you as if he's bringing a great sacrifice to God. And that's what it really means in the Syriac. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you because the servant is not any greater than his Lord. Folks, in the media, in the United States, the born-againers, those who are evangelical, those who lift up the cross of Jesus Christ, they are being mocked and ridiculed in theaters. Even on Broadway, they make fun of what they call the holy rollers. They make fun of those who are against abortion. The abortionists rise up. The militant homosexual crowd, the secular media rises up. And folks, The people of God are mocked today more than they were 10 years ago, and every year it gets worse. It absolutely gets worse. And every time, even in what is called a PG movie now, you'll find the name of Jesus Christ cursed all through that movie. Even Disney now is going to that. Walt Disney movies take the name of Jesus. They won't use four-letter words, but they'll sure curse your Christ and mine. That's a part of the persecution. That's the hatred toward Jesus Christ. Now, why are the heathen raging against God's people? Now, if you tell me on your job and among your unsaved loved ones, and if you're here to tell me that you are not despised, you are, in fact, you are admired, and everybody around you on the job thinks you're the greatest person, then I wonder if they think you just like them. I wonder if you have really compromised, because once you take your stand for Jesus, the Bible says you're going to be ostracized. You're going to be persecuted. So check your testimony if you've been patted on the back. And the Bible says, beware when all men speak well of you. They did that of the false prophets. I'm just now beginning. But why do the heathen rage against the righteous? Where is this awful rage coming from? There has to be a power behind it, because it goes beyond any human explanation. David said, consider my enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with a cruel hatred. The workers of iniquity eat up my people as they eat bread, Psalms 14:4. Folks, the rage of the wicked against the righteous is absolutely, totally unreasonable. And it's unreasonable because we haven't done anything to hurt them. You cannot be an overcoming Christian and do anything. You cannot be living in the fullness of Christ and do anything on the job or in your career to hurt anybody. It's incongruous to any kind of Christian standard. You cannot be an overcoming Christian and ill-treat people on the job or curse or listen to dirty stories, and you can't hurt anybody. So those who are truly of Christ have not deserved any of this rage. It's totally fraudulent. It's unreasonable. In fact, that's why the writer says it's a vain thing. It means unreasonable. No reason behind it. No explanation for it. Human explanation. It goes beyond that. It goes to the fact that the devil himself is behind it. Satan is behind this terrible wrath against the people of God. Now, folks, I hope that none of us at Times Square Church, wanting to be the center of attraction and so loved and admired, I don't want to be admired by those who curse my Christ. I want to be a testimony to them, and I want to be a standard against what they are doing and what they are saying, but in Christ's love, of course. I am very much amused by Christians who are in show business here on Broadway and in television, especially those actors and actresses who are in questionable movies, questionable Broadway shows and movies and all kinds of television programs that tend toward lust and immorality. Folks, there were some who called themselves Christians in one of the most vile television series on television, and they testified that they were Christians. And this really amuses me. They say, I am there to be a testimony for Jesus. I'm there to witness for Christ. Well, let me tell you something. If they really witnessed Christ as Paul the Apostle witnessed Christ, if they would stand up and really preach the grace of Jesus Christ and the power of Jesus Christ to save, they would be the most hated person on the stage. They would be despised, absolutely despised, so much so they couldn't operate. They couldn't do it. It's impossible. It doesn't line up with everything Jesus said. It's impossible. He said, come out from among them, be ye separate and clean, saith the Lord, then I receive you as my son or my daughter. Please understand, too, that the rage of heathen is universal. It's not just aimed at one individual. Suppose you're on the job and somebody has turned. They know you're a Christian. You've lived it. And they're living in sin, and they're living in lust, and they're going to hate you, but it's not against you. It's universal. Somebody could take your place from Hong Kong, China. Somebody could take your place from London, England. But if they were Christian, they would get the same treatment because it's a universal thing. Remember when Haman turned against Mordecai, the Jew? And because Mordecai wouldn't bow, the Bible said his wrath was fired against him. It was against one man. Until his friends came and said, well, he's just one of a race. And then the Bible says Mordecai set out to destroy the Jews of the whole kingdom. See, you're only one of a race of believers, a race of Jesus lovers, a race of people wholly given to the heart of God. And you're anywhere you go, whether it's on your job, anywhere you go in the world, when you hold up the standard of Jesus, the wicked are going to hate you. They're going to despise you. It's a universal hatred. Please don't take it too personal. Someone says, well, Pastor, can't we win these wicked over by our good works? Doesn't Peter say that they may, by your good works, which they shall see, glorify God in the days of visitation? Well, please listen to what it says. Yes, they will glorify God in the day of visitation, the day of judgment in the Greek. In the day of judgment, they're going to have to acknowledge that they had the testimony is what he's saying. But they, in this time, while there's still time and while you and I are on this earth, I don't care how many good works you do because you cannot appease the wicked. Absolutely impossible to please a wicked man, appease him. Now, let me get into this a little deeper. You cannot pacify the wrath of the heathen, and God gives four reasons why you can't pacify the wicked. You can't appease them. In Hosea 1:11, thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Edom, and yea, for four, I'll not turn away the punishment thereof. First of all, because he pursued his brother with a sword, God help any man who pursues his brother with a sword. God help him. I will not turn away the punishment there because he pursued his brother with a sword. Number two, he had no pity in his heart. Number three, his anger did tear at him perpetually. Number four, he kept his wrath forever. And these are the four reasons you cannot appease the wicked on your job. You cannot appease your wicked relatives. No matter how you try, you'll never please them because you cannot appease them for these very same reasons. The scripture says, they have a sword in their hand, and the sword's been put there by the devil himself. They have a sword, and that sword is the enemy's sword against the kingdom of God. And the scripture says they will not pity you, no matter how sweet and kind you are. You can ooze with sweetness, and they'll just shake their head at you. And they'll go like this, crazy. And they'll call you weak. And the Bible said they will not, their fury will be with them till they die. And number four, they're not going to change in their lifetime other than by the grace of God. Unless they're saved, they're not going to change. No matter what you do, no matter how many promises you make, you're not going to change them by appeasing them. And you know what I mean by appeasing? Going their way, doing their things. You can't do it. You go ahead and try to do what they ask you to do and you'll find out that they just lose respect for you. The ungodly, the wicked, are blinded to the fact that it's we praying, Christ-loving people who are saving their skin. Did you hear what I said? Who do you think is holding this whole thing together? Who do you think is using their weapons to chase murderous spirits and demonic spirits and raping spirits, chasing them out of our cities? Who is it that has weapons that are not carnal, mighty, pulling down the strongholds? These are God's people. It's God's people in the land who are filled with the Holy Ghost that keep the judgment from God for falling for the wickedness of the land. All of these militant homosexuals and all of these abortionists who cry out against evangelicals and those who love Jesus don't understand. They don't know that we are saving their lives. They owe their lives to us. You take us out, and anarchy comes. One of these days is going to happen just like that. Now let me try to go a little deeper and try to explain this rage of the heathen against God's people, this powerful force behind it. First of all, the wicked rage against the righteous because they have a different father than we do. It's not the same father. Because the Bible said if God were their father, they would love Jesus, they would obey His word, they would seek to understand it, and they would love all of God's people. Because if God is your heavenly Father, you not only love Him, you love His Son, and you love all of His people who are in His Son. So the Scripture said, Jesus says, you've got another father. Who is it? The Bible says it's the devil. I didn't say that. Wouldn't it be like somebody walk out here and say, Pastor, they stood there and literally called sinners sons of the devil. Well, that's what Jesus said. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He said that to a religious crowd. He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore don't hear them because you're not of God. You're not of God, he said. You know, you can be a child of the devil and still have a form of religion. You can go through all of the forms of religion. You can have a form of God who has no power. You can pray dead, cold, formal prayers. But you, God help you if you get near a red-hot prayer that really touches God and scare you to death. In Ireland, you see little children, little boys running around with little wooden guns, and they're playing war games, and they're sometimes it's the Protestants, and then sometimes it's the Catholic kids. And they're running all over cursing the Protestants and cursing the Catholics and carrying these little guns around and these wooden knives and playing war. And they're just waiting till they're old enough to join the IRA or another army and get in the real fight. Now, where did they get this hatred? They got it from their fathers in their homes. Where does this rage come from but from the devil himself, from the father of those who are wicked? This rage is demonic. Folks, I told you about the time here in New York City, a group of Catholics were outside of this abortion clinic. And I just came along in the street, and there were a group of Christians outside of these barriers. And I was standing among Christians and just watching what was happening. And there were a group of lesbians there that were pro-choice. And they saw me standing there, and I had three of them in my face. I mean, cursing me. They didn't know me. Their father knew the father in me. Their father hates my father. And my father's stronger than their father. They started cursing me and hollering at me. And I just turned to walk. They followed me. I said, what do you want? I wasn't even a participant. They followed me. You bunch of hypocrites. You dumb Christians. That's the sweet. I'm giving you the polished version. Two years ago when they had the homosexual march on Fifth Avenue, 250,000 homosexuals, and I'm standing with two other Christians over here just watching. And I'm standing there in utter amazement, and a group of militants gathered around, and somebody near me had a sign, Jesus loves homosexuals. They grabbed it and tore it and cursed and started chasing the man down the street. Then they turned to me. And their father recognized my father. And my father's stronger than their father. All I said, glory to Jesus, and they ran. They have another father. The rage comes from the father. The lust of their father you will do, he says. You know the young man that just confessed for the one murder and the five rapes here in the city? They just caught him? do you understand? Did you hear what he was doing the last 3 months before the rapes? He was sitting in his room with pornographic films on rape and beatings and stabbings, and he was laughing through them. And the devil was saturating his mind, preparing him for this devilish thing that he was doing. His father, the lust of your father you will do. That wasn't his lust, it was the lust of the devil implanted in him. And you feed your mind in pornography, sir or ma'am, and you're going to end up the same way. There'll be murder in your heart. Number two, the wicked get angry because they believe the Christians don't regard them properly. We don't bow to their wishes, and we don't respect their evil ways. The Bible said, "Blessed is the man that regardeth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies." Remember the three Hebrew children? Somebody comes to Nebuchadnezzar and says, there are certain Jews that you've set over the affairs of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They don't have respect for you. They're not listening to you. They're listening to somebody else. They have no regard for you. And folks, nothing that a proud, carnal spirit hates more than not to be regarded or listened to. And folks, this is part of this rage. Why is it that your unsaved relatives get angry with you? You visit them, and you're of a whole different nationality now. Total different nationality. See, you're not Puerto Rican now. You're not black now. You're not white now. You're not Jew. You're not Gentile. By the way, who's your real family? The blood wash. This is my family right here. I have relatives, and they drink. They're not saved. And they'll call, and they say, "We're coming to visit." And we know exactly what's going to happen. They can't smoke in our house. We don't drink. They love to go to clubs. We don't go to clubs. They come, they're going to stay a day or two. Never more than an hour does it last. They come in and say hello, and they start fidgeting. And we're trying to be as nice and sweet as we can possibly be. And they keep looking at their clock. I mean, no time ever does this couple last more than an hour in our home. You know what it's like to go to your unsaved relatives, your in-laws? And your real mom, your real dad, and they're not saved? And you're not saying anything, but you're condemning them by your lifestyle. And you try and try to make them love you. You try to get along with them. But you see, you don't regard them, they think. You think you're holier than we are. You think you're better than us. I got a letter from a woman, and it was a heartbreaking letter. She said, "Pastor Dave, my father was a pastor, and he backslid. Divorced my mom. And not only did he divorce my mom and go drinking and carousing, he has caused all my brothers and sisters, all his children, I think there were three others, to backslide. Got them all into drinking. They were all messed up. And she came, she was called to a family reunion, and this preacher dad mocked her the whole time she was there. He used to be an evangelical pastor. And she said, "Brother Dave, when I go there, I try to be nice. I try everything. But my father says, 'You think you're something, don't you? But you'll be back. You'll be one of us, because blood is thicker than water.'" She said, "So is sludge." She didn't want to be disrespectful, but she said, "Dad, I cannot go your way. He's caused this whole family to go to hell." She said, "There's no way." She said, "My heart is broken. There's no way now that I can please them. Because he thinks she's being..." In fact, he told her, he said, "You're disrespectful to me." Well, you better believe she is. She's disrespectful to his lifestyle, to his drinking, to his smoking, and his partying around. And she's not going to be affected by it. Folks, go to your relatives. Do the best you can. Witnesses the Holy Ghost tells you. Don't preach at them. Don't preach at them unless the Holy Ghost tells you to do it. Otherwise, you're just casting your pearls, and they'll be trampled. You see, they have idols that they love, and you're coming, and you're speaking against their idols. You represent everything that they despise at this time. Now, thirdly, the ungodly get furious, and they hate the righteous because we separate ourselves from their company. The Bible says, in fact, the Bible commands, come out from among them, and be ye separate and clean, and touch no unclean thing. Now, the world is absolutely condemned by Christians who withdraw. Absolutely condemned. Oh, by the way, if you really are living the life and you really testify, you don't have to withdraw from anybody. The Bible said they will separate you from their company. Because, you know what? You cramp their style. How many times have you heard it say, oh, we can't do that. Mr. Holy is here. Mr. Religion is here. We can't do that. I've got to stop here and make a statement. The day is coming, folks, that we're going to have to be more and more separated from the world than we are even now. Because the devil has already succeeded in bringing so much of his stuff into the church. He's brought music into the church. He's brought divorce. Do you know that evangelicals, now I read this recently, evangelicals, they figure out the biggest segment of people who go to theaters now are evangelicals who attend even R-rated movies. Evangelicals. Evangelicals have the highest divorce rate in America now. Why? The enemy is coming in because people didn't want to be separated. Even the church now wants to be friends with the world, so we've got what's called sinner-friendly churches. Where we don't provoke people, we try to sneak them into the kingdom. And we make them happy and comfortable in the church. Folks, that's against everything Jesus talked about. Listen, I said it this morning, Times Square Church will never be the darling of New York. Wall Street will never love us. Broadway will never accept us. This whole city will not accept us. God said, watch out when all men speak well of you. John the Baptist didn't get invited to the White House. He stood with his finger before a holy God and he pointed out the adultery among leaders. He said to the soldiers and to the hypocrites and to the Pharisees, I've come to show you the axe is coming to the root of your sin.
This is the end of side one. You may now turn the tape over to side two.
And folks, there's been such compromise, and it's because the church wants to be loved, it wants to be coddled, it wants to be flattered by the world. It wants to be accepted. We've got men in the pulpit that are ashamed of the shame of Paul the Apostle. Paul said, if you're going to preach my gospel, you'll be considered the offscouring of the world. We're not going to be accepted here. You're going to be persecuted, so expect it. There's a false kind of unity that's going on in the Church of Jesus Christ, that not the church, but in the backslidden church, even among charismatics. There's this false love gospel that we're just going to love everybody. You're not going to talk about sin. You're not going to provoke anybody. Everything's accepted as long as you put Jesus on top of it all, like a cherry on it, on the top. When I first came to New York City, I got my stomach full of it. There were programs all over the city trying to bring Jesus in the back door to drug addicts. I went up here to 74th Street in the church, and they had dances on Saturday night for drug addicts. And they were telling me about this great program a certain church was having up there. And I won't name it because the Presbyterians will get hurt. But not all Presbyterians, just happened to be that one church. And I go in, and these beautiful girls are on the dance floor. They're trying to dance away the habit. There was no gospel. And the program had to end because too many of the young girls were seduced into that lifestyle of drugs. And folks, I saw everything. There were over, I think, some 60 programs at that time working with drug addicts, and nobody having any results. And folks, I saw churches up in Harlem and up in the Bronx having block parties with beer, everything, all for drug addicts, trying to win them and then try to seduce them to go to a psychologist and get their head examined. Hearts were never changed. We went out in the streets with nothing but American flags so no cop could stop us. And we just preached Jesus. And folks, we began to have results. We've been having them ever since. Nothing but Jesus. Jesus comes in the front door, not the back door. Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, that ye receive not of her plagues. Now, question. How long do you think God's going to put up with this rage against his people? How long do you think he's going to put up with it? Now, God's promised to do two things to deal with this ungodly rage. I want you to turn to Psalm 76. You're still in Psalms, I believe. Turn to Psalm 76. Show you what God's going to do. Two things he's promised to do to deal with this rage of the heathen. All right. Verse 10. If you have an American, if you have English, King James, read it aloud with me. Surely the wrath of men shall praise thee, the remainder of wrath shall thou restrain. Two things. Now, God says, I'm going to turn it into my praise, and whatever of the wrath I don't turn into my praise, I'm just going to stop it. I'm going to restrain it. I'm going to have my hand hold it back. So, folks, there's nothing to worry about. Let the heathen rage. Let them persecute. Let them say what they will about you. God says, I'm going to turn it into my praise. Remember when Nebuchadnezzar, in his fury and his rage, threw them into this red-hot furnace heated 7 times? What did God do with that rage? Turned it into his praise. When the scripture says, when he saw the fourth man, then he came out saying that every people, every nation, and every language would speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill. But there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. That morning, they got up, and everybody's mocking the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I mean, everybody going like this. They're mocking his God, laughing at their testimony. Before the day is over, not one of them can open their mouth. God shut the mouths of all the heathen in just one act, a few hours. And God, the king who was full of wrath, and it looked like he's wiping out the testimony. Now, he's saying, anybody in my whole kingdom that raises their voice one word against the God of these men, I'm going to cut them to pieces. I'm going to burn down his house. You better believe nobody lifted a finger. Can you see Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego humble but proud of their God walking out of that furnace? The king says, I dare you to talk about their God.
If God wants to, He can stop this abortion thing overnight. He can stop it anytime He chooses. Sometimes He'll not until the judgment has run its course. Hallelujah. Sometimes God just goes and gets a hold of that angry man and saves him. That's what He did with Saul. Saul was raging against God's people. God said, boy, he'd make a good preacher. God says, I'm going to harness that rage and turn it into my glory. Didn't God do it? Look up. Look around. What happened in this theater? Jesus Christ Superstar. They raged against our Christ. And Jesus, they used to have a tripwire way up here, and it would come right down over the audience, and the young man who played Jesus would appear in a diaper, and his hands spread out, and right down, hanging over right where you are in the middle. Now, that young man was stoned all the time. He was on crack and cocaine, and he didn't even know where he was at. He used to light 1,000 candles back in what is the pastor study there and worship the devil, till one night something came, a wind came in and blew 1,000 candles out at one time. Scared him to death. The Lord saved the boy. He was here for the dedication, remember. Not only did God convert him, God converted the theater. Mark Collins of theater got saved. Got converted. You know, since we come in here, they have a law now that no theaters can be turned into churches. Too late, folks. Too late. God took the wrath of man and turned it into His praise. Hallelujah. Glory to God. One of the greatest examples is the cross. No man took more rage than our Savior. And look what our Heavenly Father did. He took that rage of man that nailed Him to the cross and brought glory, the whole universe, to the glory of God. And every one of us hear testimonies of what God did with that rage and how He turned it into the glory, absolute glory of God. Hallelujah. Praise His name. I'll tell you why He's going to turn the wrath of men into praise for His name, because He's a jealous God. Let me tell you, there are three things that God loves. I mean, loves with all His being. God loves His truth. He loves the worship of His people. And He dearly loves His children. And God will not allow men to trample on that which He so dearly loves. Folks, God loves His people. He loves us. He loves His word being preached. He loves the worship. These are the three things God loves. Do you think He's going to stand by while ungodly men trample and mock His word and walk all over God's people trying to consume them and try to mock and despise the holy worship of God Himself? He won't allow it. He's going to act, the Scripture says. David said, defend me from those who rise up against me. Deliver me from the workers of iniquity. Awake to visit the heathen. Then he said, thus the Lord awakened as one out of sleep, and like a mighty man that salleth by reason of wine, and he smote his enemies in the hinder parts and put them to a perpetual reproach. Now, folks, I'm going to close with this. This is very, very important. There's going to be one last furious rage, and that's at the Battle of Armageddon. And I want you to go with me, please, to Ezekiel 38. I'm going to close with this. Turn quickly, Ezekiel 38. The Bible says the nations are going to become angry with God. Every nation on earth is going to turn with wrath against God, and they're going to be gathered in the Battle of Armageddon. And God's going to deal with that wrath once and for all. He's going to give the death blow to the wrath of the wicked. All right, I want you to begin reading with me, verse 14. Therefore, son of man, prophesy and say unto Gog, thus saith the Lord God, in that day when my people of Israel dwelleth safely, shalt thou not know it. And thou shalt come from thy place out of the north parts, thou and many people with thee, all of them riding upon horses, a great company and a mighty army. And thou shalt come up against my people of Israel as a cloud to cover the land. It shall be in the latter days. Folks, we're in those latter days now. This is a prophetic word for us to hear. And I will bring thee against my land. Who's bringing them down? Against Israel? Against God's people? I will bring them down. And why is he going to bring them down? Why are they coming in wrath? God says they're full of anger. They're full of wrath against God. But I'm going to bring these wrathful people down against my people. Why? That the heathen may know me when I shall be sanctified or honored in thee, O Gog, before their eyes. Verse 20. So that the fishes of the sea and the fowls of the heaven, the beasts of the field and all creeping things that creep upon the earth, and all men that are upon the face of the earth shall shake at my presence. The mountains shall be thrown down. The steep places shall fall, and every wall shall fall to the ground. And I will call for a sword against him throughout all my mountains, saith the Lord. Every man's sword shall be against his own brother. God says he's going to plead with them there. Verse 23, thus will I magnify myself and sanctify myself. I will be known in the eyes of many nations. They shall know that I am the Lord. Hallelujah. God says they're going to come one last blast of this heathen rage. God said, I'm going to gather all of the hypocrites, the atheists, all of the mockers and scoffers, they're all going to be there. God said, I'm going to gather them all in one battlefield. And God says, I'm going to deal with them. He's going to rain out of heaven judgment upon them. And he said, they're going to know that I have the power. They cannot rage against my people. Hallelujah. Oh, by the way, there's a verse here. I forgot, and I just have to read this to you. Who art thou that are afraid of a man that shall die, and of the Son of Man that shall be made as grass? You forget the Lord your Maker that stretched out the heavens and laid the foundation of the earth. Now listen to this. Fear ye not the reproach of man. Beloved, I'm going to close now. On the job, let them rail. Listen to what it says. Neither be afraid of their revilings, because the moth is going to eat them up. The moth is already at work, eating holes in their garments. Folks, I tell you now, you may not see it because we have such freedom today, but it could happen overnight. It can happen. I don't know what's happened in Russia yet. I haven't gotten the report yet out of Russian election today. But let me tell you something. That persecution can start all over again overnight. It can start in just a few weeks. It can happen here in the United States through our Supreme Court, through laws and regulations that are getting stricter and stricter. And folks, we're at the place right now, we're almost at the verge that any homosexual, if we had a job, any homosexual came and applied, we would have to give him full consideration. And it's getting worse and worse, and this persecution is going to set in. But folks, God says, don't be afraid of their reviling, their reproach. The moth is going to eat them up. Folks, we're headed for a battlefield. They are headed for a battlefield. We will not be at Armageddon, by the way. I don't plan to be at Armageddon. None of my sons are going to that war. None of my grandsons are going to that war, because my sons and my grandsons are going to be serving the Lord. They're going to be taken up to meet Jesus in the air. Hallelujah. He said, so why are you afraid? Nothing to fear, because God, our Father, has all power and all authority. Doesn't that make you feel great? Doesn't that just make you feel great? Hallelujah. You can walk all over these streets and say, my Father's bigger than all of this. My Father's greater.